Sorry about the delay. So tonight's hearing is a legislative hearing. It's a proposal to amend the zoning code. And it's an idea that's been talked about for almost a year now. And it has to do with the various kinds of school facilities that are acknowledged in the City of Moscow zoning code and how they may or may not be permitted in various non-residential zoning districts. I'm going to give you some background information. Basically, this consideration began with receipt of a complaint back in January of this year. So we've been talking about the general issue at least for almost a year. And that complaint had specifically to do with educational institutions in the central business zone. About a month after receipt of that complaint, I had rendered a determination regarding the matter. Then in May, the Board of Adjustment overruled that determination and determined that educational institutions were not allowable uses in the central business zone. That determination by the Board of Adjustment was upheld again at the council level toward the end of June this year. In early July of this year, the council directed the Planning and Zoning Commission to look at how the various types of school facilities are allowed in non-residential zoning districts from a broader perspective. And they directed the Planning and Zoning Commission to forward a recommendation to the council by October 3rd. The Planning and Zoning Commission took that task and basically met on a weekly basis in order to accommodate that request and to meet their normal workload. They had the matter on their agenda no less than six times between mid-July and mid-September. They considered over 6 hours of public input, verbal input during public meetings, including a heavily advertised meeting held on August 10th of this year. The way the Planning and Zoning Commission approached the direction from the council at that time was to first look at the definitions of the various kinds of schools and determine whether or not they need to be revisited or amended. Then they looked at the means or the methods by which various schools might be permitted in the various non-residential zones, in other words, by right, by use permit, not at all, by PUD, all the various different possibilities. Then they also considered the standards or any special considerations that they thought might be worthy of consideration by whatever means was chosen to permit schools. After that, the Planning and Zoning Commission recommended that the council pursue a code amendment requiring conditional use permit for all three types of school facilities acknowledged in our code, those being schools, commercial schools, and educational institutions, and that the use permit for all those types of schools be required regardless of which non-residential zoning district we were talking about. There were a few exceptions to that, and that was that they didn't think that schools or educational institutions were appropriate in the research, technology, and office zone, didn't think that schools were appropriate in the central business zone, and they thought it was appropriate for educational institutions in the central business zone to provide out-of-zone parking. And then the other thing that they thought was appropriate was that schools and educational institutions not be allowed in the industrial zone. So that was the recommendation that they forwarded to the City Council in response to the Council's direction, in addition to the fact that they thought it was appropriate to consider focus areas. And they included tax-exempt status, traffic, safety, and nuisance issues. And they also suggested that parking requirements be specifically added for educational institutions because that was lacking. The commission forwarded that recommendation, and that was received by the council at a meeting on September 9th. At that time, council directed that the staff and the Planning and Zoning Commission pursue a code amendment or the creation of an ordinance that was basically in line with what the Planning and Zoning Commission recommended. However, there were some exceptions to that. And those exceptions were that there not be out-of-zone parking in the central business district as a requirement for educational institutions, that the code amendments specify that any parking requirement for educational institutions not include the university zoning district, and that there not be special consideration or explicit consideration given to tax-exempt status through the conditional use permit review. So with that direction from the council, the second time around, the Planning and Zoning Commission staff held additional public meetings and worked together to craft an ordinance which is in front of you tonight. Generally speaking, the ordinance in front of you tonight would allow schools, commercial schools, and educational institutions by conditional use permit. I'm going to go through zone by zone, if you don't mind, because there are some differences here. The conditional use permit would be required for all three types of schools in the residential office zone and in the neighborhood business zone, with specific consideration given to traffic, parking, safety, and nuisance issues, as well as consideration of the cumulative impacts of schools and similar facilities in the same vicinity as the one being proposed. And that reminds me, I need to pass out something to you. When I was reviewing the proposed ordinance at my desk today, I picked up on a word that had been left out of the ordinance on page 4. And if you look at the first bullet on this particular slide, it says, with specific consideration given to traffic, comma, parking, comma, and safety. And the word safety got omitted, or we failed to put it in under conditional uses in the central business zone. So I added that back in, and that would make it consistent throughout the draft ordinance. Moving through the non-residential zoning districts, and basically removing in order of the non-residential zones that are listed in the code, in the same order as the code, and they're generally in order of increasing intensity of the zones. And the next zoning district in that order in the code is the Research Technology Office Zoning District. And the ordinance in front of you tonight would allow only commercial schools in that zone, and it would require a conditional use permit for commercial schools in that zone. It was thought that schools and educational institutions were not appropriate for the RTO zone. In addition to the use permit requirement for commercial schools in the RTO zone, the ordinance specifies that it would only be allowed if the commercial school were directly associated with an existing RTO business in the same building as that RTO business. Moving on through the various zoning districts, the ordinance proposes that commercial schools and educational institutions could be allowed by conditional use permit in the central business zoning district and in the motor business zoning district, subject to the same previously mentioned special considerations, i.e. traffic, parking, nuisance, and safety, as well as the impact to the availability of retail and office space in that particular zone, or in those two particular zones, CB and MB. And the ordinance would also require that in the CB and the MB zones, that the schools applying for conditional use permit submit future expansion and capability descriptions and plans, so that could be considered during the conditional use permit process. The general business zone, the ordinance proposes the same thing as that just mentioned for central business and motor business, except it doesn't require the expansion plans for future expansion capabilities. The industrial zone is the last commercial zone, if you will, listed in the zoning code, and the ordinance proposes that only commercial schools be allowed in the industrial zone, and again, by way of conditional use permit. In addition to the conditional use permit requirement, the commercial school would only be allowed if it were determined to be supportive of an industrial type of use. And it also, it would be subject to the cumulative impact considerations of similar uses in the area. The ordinance explicitly lists schools, commercial schools, and educational institutions as permitted uses, in other words, by right, without any public hearings, in the university zone. That's basically a cleanup. The ordinance does not currently explicitly list those uses. It's been determined that those uses are allowed from other language in that zoning district, but this would make it explicit. The ordinance would require parking for commercial schools and educational institutions in the central business zone, and it would require that that parking be located outside of the central business zone. That's been put back into this this recommendation from the Planning and Zoning Commission. The ordinance specifies that high schools, commercial schools, and educational institutions be exempt from the parking requirement
if the parking requirement would result in five or fewer parking spaces. Additional matters of interest regarding this ordinance, it would require one parking stall per staff member and one per five students, each for educational institutions and commercial schools. However, again, it would not apply in the university zone. Some items that I wanted to throw out for your consideration as you listen to public testimony tonight and deliberate upon this later. One being the equity issue, and this has been brought up before, and I just wanted to point out that this ordinance would impose a requirement that does not exist for other uses in the zoning code. In other words, this would create a situation where no type of school facility could go by right except in the university zone. It would require use permit everywhere else. We don't have any other situations like that for any other uses in the code. It would impose a higher standard for school facilities than it does for, than the code does for other non-retail and non-commercial uses in the central business zone. There are no other uses that have these kinds of special considerations required. I should say, schools in residential zones don't require the special considerations that are mentioned in this ordinance for schools in non-residential zones. So that's a difference there. No other use would be required to submit expansion, or no other use is required to submit expansion plans as a matter of what the code says. So that's another equity issue having to do with this ordinance. Just for your information, existing school facilities that are currently deemed to be not allowed where they currently exist under the current code would either have to obtain a conditional use permit if this ordinance passes as proposed, or they would have to relocate into a zone that allows them. Existing school facilities that are currently deemed allowed would have to obtain a conditional use permit to expand or to rebuild. So they'd be allowed to stay, they'd be able to maintain the status quo, but if they wanted to expand or if they had to rebuild, they would have to go through the conditional use permit process at that time. I've mentioned this before, at the staff level, it's felt that the out-of-zone parking requirement for commercial schools and educational institutions would be one that would be difficult to enforce. And then I wanted to mention that if the council feels it appropriate to require the out-of-zone parking for commercial schools and educational institutions in the central business zone, that you should direct staff, I believe, to amend the ordinance to exempt that out-of-zone parking requirement from an existing code section, that being 4-6-5B3. That section of the city code requires that off-site parking be within a certain walking distance from the use that it's to serve. And it's felt like if that were imposed in conjunction with the out-of-zone parking requirement, it would be perhaps near impossible to obtain the necessary parking. And so I just wanted to make you aware of that. And that's the end of my presentation.
Thank you, Joel. Are there any questions for Joel by the council?
Go ahead.
Well, you touched on equity of other organizations not being required to put in a detailed plan and things like that. And I also noticed that it looks like commercial schools are also exempt from having to do that, just educational institutions. Is there a reason for just the one?
I think it was felt that there was more of a potential impact for educational institutions than there was for commercial school. I think, and I believe the chair of the Planning and Zoning Commission is here tonight, and perhaps he might be the better person to ask that question, but I think it was felt that commercial schools tended to be smaller in scale and therefore perhaps not as impacted.
I think we're making an assumption that could turn on us in a few years if we did that, so kind of why we brought that up.
Let's ask that question again.
Okay.
John?
My question has to do with the, if we pass this ordinance and there's two choices for school, that is to obtain a CUP or relocate, and is it possible for them to just be considered non-conforming uses and stay in place, or is that not an option?
If they're currently allowable, and then we pass this ordinance, then they will be non-conforming uses with respect to the fact that they are in existence without the conditional use permit, which became a requirement after their establishment. So they would be non-conforming with that regard, and they would be treated as such. However, if they did want to expand or rebuild, they would be required at that time to apply for and obtain a conditional use permit in order to do that expansion or rebuilding.
But then all those that are currently deemed not allowable have to get a CUP. They can't just be non-conforming uses.
Non-conforming uses inherently implies the word legal prior to it. It's just not stated. But non-conforming means legal. So yes, if they're not currently legal, they don't have non-conforming rights.
Thank you, Joel. Oh, I'm sorry.
So I can ask another question. You were talking about how parking, off-site parking would be difficult to enforce. Was there also some discussion about conditional use permit, changes from that original standard? So if some use was expanded or population were expanded, how would that, is there a follow-up, a renewal sort of element to this process? So that, you know, say an existing educational institution went from 150 to 300 people, at what point would you find out about that? What, by what mechanism?
Well, it's the property owner's responsibility and obligation to come to the city and get all any necessary approvals prior to making any kind of change like that. And it's at that time that we would review the proposal against the zoning code and determine what was required. So that's the point in time that we would, if this were adopted, for example, say you need to get a conditional use permit before you do that.
Oh, was there any conversation, I didn't see it in the notes, from the Planning and Zoning Commission concerning the language in the existing code about similar public or private institution? That seemed to be, you know, the crux of our problem. Was there some discussion of striking that language or otherwise making those similar uses also conditional uses?
I don't believe that they discussed the possibility of requiring conditional use permits for other similar uses. And Jerry can correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't recall them talking about that. I do recall them talking about what they felt like individually as commissioners similar uses may or may not be. And I'm not sure if that got reflected in the minutes or not. There's so many sets of meeting minutes in here, but I do know that they talked about that in general.
And then finally, last question, is there some implication here for homeschoolers?
Not that I'm aware of. As far as I know, this would not change any way in which we the code addresses homeschools.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you, Joel.